Hello, Kirsty Melville here with you for Earshot. And today we're taking a step back to a chilly morning in June 1975, when 150 sex workers took refuge in a French church in the centre of Lyon. Their occupation was the beginning of a nationwide sex worker strike that shocked people all around the world. For the first time, these sex workers openly acknowledged what they did and who they were. 40 years on, producer Eurydice Aroney travels to strike headquarters in Lyon, France, to speak with people who were there and who remembered. Here's the sex workers' revolt.
L'église Saint-Nizier à Lyon, elle est connue de toute la France maintenant. Depuis 24 heures, 80 prostituées.
The Church of Saint-Nizier in Lyon is now famous throughout France. Over the last 24 hours, 80 prostitutes have made themselves at home in the church to protest the jail sentences given to some of the women.
Nous tiendrons aussi notre temps qu'il faut. Vous pouvez constater vous-même, il n'y a pas d'abattement parmi nous. Nous sommes pimpantes, fraîches et disposes. Nous sommes à la même.
I'm on a pilgrimage in Lyon, France, but I'm not looking for saints. I'm here to trace the remains of a revolt, an unlikely alliance between sex workers and Catholic priests. In June 1975, hundreds of people occupied Catholic churches across France, and here, in Saint-Nizier Church, was strike headquarters.
Ces personnes font le ménage.
Father Janson, curate of Saint-Nizier, introduces me to the church's volunteer cleaning ladies.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
He says I'm here to do a story about what happened on June the 2nd, 1975.
Ah, c'était les prostituées?
Yes, she remembers.
Mais je savais que c'était en 75.
Even though she was living in Paris at the time.
Non, pas du tout, pas du tout.
Marion, qu'est-ce qui s'est passé le 2 juin 75?
Father Janson is surprised. He was only 2 years old when the strike happened, but assures me he'll look it up on YouTube later on.
Ça s'appelait Hula, la meneuse. Alors elles ont, je sais pas, elles ont été logées dans l'église?
That's right. They were given sanctuary. And yes, Ulla was one of the leaders, and also Barbara, who'd been a school teacher.
On peut penser à Marie-Madeleine. Justement, donc c'est un très bon exemple. Le Christ, Marie-Madeleine, c'est l'apôtre préféré du Christ, en femme.
She tells me that they talked about the strike and compared it to the story of Mary Magdalene, Christ's favourite apostle. But when I scour the wall displays and the tourist pamphlet about the church's 700-year-long history, there's no mention of the revolt.
Quand nous occupons les églises,
when we occupy the churches,
ça te scandalise.
You are scandalized.
Grenouille de bénitier,
religious bigots.
Toi qui nous promettais le diable,
you who threatened us with hell.
Nous venons manger à ta table.
We have come to eat at your table.
Saint-Nizier.
At Saint-Nizier. I had to wait an hour at the station, and then I was questioned for the first time. Name, first name, working name, age.
I've discovered an out-of-print book titled La Partagée, or in English, The Divided Woman.
I did tell them my name, a working name.
Written by one of the protest leaders.
Barbara. I was a whore now, a real one.
Barbara would meet her clients in bars or on the streets, and then she'd take them to the small hotels, whose owners paid off the cops to look the other way.
People regard us as dirty or abnormal women, but at the same time they say we are needed, because we are needed.
Being a sex worker wasn't illegal in France, but making money from prostitution was.
Prostitution is not forbidden under French law, and we are citizens like everyone else. But because society is ashamed of the fact that it needs us, it treats us as criminals.
A 1972 corruption inquiry found that police and politicians were profiting from the hotels, and some were jailed. The hotels were closed, leaving 400 sex workers and their clients with nowhere to conclude business. Then began a three-year-long pursuit, police chasing sex workers through the laneways, throwing them into vans and booking them with soliciting. At least half a dozen were tortured and murdered. The police seemed disinterested in pursuing the culprits. Fed up, terrified and broke, the women turned to a close and powerful ally, a battle-hardened activist. Father Louis Blanc, one of a handful of Catholic priests who decided to support the women.
Fleeing police persecution, sex workers of Lyon have taken refuge. Letter to the population. I know a fair bit about this, because I worked on it quite a bit.
In what could be seen as an each-way bet, Father Blanc was already running a shelter for reform sex workers and was a member of the Mouvement du Nid, a group set up by the Catholic Church to support sex workers, but at the same time to eradicate prostitution.
What triggered the scandal was one person who I remember very well. She was sentenced to jail for the repeated offence of working on the sidewalk. That is what triggered it. Instead, the others said, no, she will not go to jail.
Non, nous n'irons pas en prison.
The police were systematically fining the sex workers.
Sans arrêt, sans arrêt, sans arrêt. Prison, révolte.
Dear Mr. President, you are, as you declared, the president of all French people, and therefore you are also the president of the prostitutes. Today we took refuge in a church in the centre of Lyon to protect the women who were to be jailed by the police. To the senior magistrate, we ask you to cancel the charges against us. Otherwise, the police will have to massacre us in the church. Not one of us will go to jail, Mr. President. Signed, the Women Prostitutes of Lyon.
Les prostituées ont fait appel à de nombreux ministres et même, vous le savez, au président de la République. Elles ont demandé à un moment l'arbitrage de François Giroud, secrétaire d'État à la condition féminine. Et
pour the prostitutes Giroud, have called upon the president of the Republic and have asked for the state secretary for women for her assistance. But she says it doesn't concern her. Rather, it is the responsibility of the Minister of Interior.
We didn't have to wait long for an answer. On the Monday, even before having been called, Madame Giroux refused to meet with us. It's not my responsibility, she said.
Durant des siècles de silence et d'intolérance, nous étions habitués à être traités comme des bêtes. Nous avons relevé la tête à Saint-Lizier.
Saying no to the protesters turned out to be a tactical error by the government. Influential media from the Miami Herald to the Sydney Morning Herald published the list of demands. That the private lives of sex workers remain just that. That sex workers' husbands and boyfriends not be charged as pimps. And of course, the fines had to end and the sex workers be given the right to work safely in the reopened hotels.
We have hung on the front of the church a large banner, which reads, "Our children do not want their mothers to go to jail." Two or three women guard the front door in shifts because visitor numbers are increasing. First journalists and then local community groups, feminists, non-violent groups. They all want to show us their support and help us through our voluntary confinement.
By day five of the strike, the revolt has done the equivalent of going viral. Reporters are falling over themselves to interview the women, not just for news, but personal profiles. The whole French nation, if not the Western world, is suddenly discussing the ins and outs of sex work.
8 heures. représentants du clergé sont devenus les auditeurs privilégiés de la revendication.
The representatives of the clergy have become the privileged ear of the protesters, and the movement of the prostitutes, which began in Lyon, is building.
Le mouvement des prostituées déclenché à Lyon gagne du terrain. Après Marseille et Montpellier, c'est maintenant le tour de Paris où quelques 200 belles de nuit.
After Marseille and Montpellier, it's now the turn of Paris, where about 200 ladies of the night have taken refuge.
Se sont retranchés à la chapelle Saint-Bernard.
In the chapel of Saint-Bernard.
Vous appelez comment?
What's your name?
Sylvie.
Vous avez quel âge?
How old are you?
30 ans.
30 years old.
Vous avez commencé à 27 ans.
27.
How old were you when you started?
27.
Before then, were you what we'd call a slut?
Non, avant j'étais mariée.
No, I was married.
Une fille facile? Non, pas du tout. C'est le contraire, hein, je crois.
A slut? No, not at all. The opposite, I think.
Oui.
Non, non. Ça m'a jamais tenté. Puis de toute manière, j'ai fréquenté 5 ans mon mari.
No, no, I wasn't. I was with my husband for 5 years and I waited for marriage like a good girl.
Comment ça s'est passé la première fois que...
What was it like the first time?
Que j'ai fait un client?
That I had a client.
Oui. Bon, d'abord, je tremblais.
First, I was shaking. I had the shakes. I was scared. It's a weird feeling.
Vous êtes restée très bourgeoise dans le fond.
Oui.
But deep down, you are still very much of the middle class.
Faire voir ce que je fais en dehors de mon travail.
Yes, I don't at all like people seeing what I do outside of my work.
If there's one thing that most sex workers have in common, it's that they don't tell. That's what made the 1975 French sex workers' strike so groundbreaking. For the first time, prostitutes spoke openly about their working conditions, described who they were and what they did to anyone who would listen. Maria!
Oh!
Maria is arriving home to her two-bedroom suburban townhouse. Every day, she parks her van on the highway verge, about 70 kilometres out of Lyon, waiting for clients.
Here, this is the house of a prostitute who looks after other people's children. Where's Mustafa? Outside. I told him not to leave the house. Where's my phone?
Pourtant, je lui ai dit de pas quitter la maison, hein. Qu'est-ce que j'ai fait de mon téléphone? Je vais vous expliquer, hein. Si vous voulez faire un reportage, ça c'est mon oncle, c'est le frère de mon père.
You're going to do a story, so let me explain what's going on here. Here's my uncle, my father's brother.
Ça c'est une troisième cousine.
And this person is a third cousin.
Que ses parents ils ont immigré ici maintenant qu'ils avaient personne pour la garder, c'est nous qu'on la garde.
Her parents migrated, and so there was nobody to look after her. So now we're taking care of her too.
Voilà, c'est déjà ça la vie, Maria. Maintenant je vais quitter ça et je reviens.
This is the life of Maria. I'm going to get changed out of this and I'll be back.
Je m'appelle Maria de Lourdes. Je suis née au Portugal le 2 février 1953.
My name is Maria de Lourdes. I was born in Portugal on 2nd of February 1953 in a small town called Serra da San Antonio.
Voilà le résultat, ce qui est sorti, une petite fille qui est née sourde et muette. À 16 ans...
When I was 14 years old, my parents married me off. From that marriage, a little girl was born. She was deaf and mute.
Et voilà, je suis arrivée.
At 16, I left my husband, took off to my parents in France. At the time, it was easy to find work. I worked as a domestic cleaner and was paid 400 francs a month. My mother took that money to look after my little girl. I started to work as a prostitute to earn more money and to be able to better look after my daughter.
Maria, still an activist, is the only 1975 striker who agreed to be recorded.
La police nous envoyait les chiens dessus.
Did I tell you the police would let their dogs loose on us? Because we didn't give in.
Moi, comme beaucoup d'autres, on n'était pas obligé de se prostituer. Mais puisqu'on a décidé ça...
I, like many others, was not obliged to work as a prostitute. We decided.
Moi, j'ai toujours dit, je dirais, j'étais voir le maire de Lyon.
I went to see the mayor of Lyon. I went to see lots of people and I told them, nobody can decide for me. It's my choice.
Personne ne peut décider de ma personne, c'est moi. On ne m'oblige pas, mais je veux finir comme ça. Mais je veux finir dignement.
And I want to end like this. But I want to end with dignity.
Je ne veux pas que mes enfants et mes petits-enfants...
I don't want my children, my grandchildren to say later, my grandmother was a prostitute and she ended up a beggar. I want my children and my grandchildren to say, my mother was a prostitute. My grandmother was a prostitute, but she raised us like royalty.
Moi, je veux que mes enfants disent, ma mère, elle était prostituée, ma grand-mère était prostituée, mais elle nous a élevés comme des princes.
We are speaking up, dear so-called Christian gentlemen, as is the right of any citizen, because we've been forced to, because we have children to raise as best we can. And we enter the churches like any Christian, not to glorify ourselves, but to ask God to help us, to love us like He loved Mary Magdalene. We don't feel we are profaning anything.
In Paris, Father Fouet tells the Miami News that it is wonderful to see people still turning to their church in a time of crisis. The Paris chapel includes transsex workers who have an extra gripe. There's a French law that forbids men wearing women's clothes except during carnival season, so the transsex workers get double the fines. None other than Simone de Beauvoir turns up, giving her support. Meanwhile, in Lyon-Saint-Nizier, there is despondency. The government refuses to meet with the strikers. Father Blanc is accused of being a pimp.
Some people were furious. You should see. I received a stream of letters from people insulting me. I didn't care. I was engaged in a cause and couldn't care less what others said.
Moi, que je suis catholique, de, vraiment avec toutes mes communions et tout, quand on est rentré là-bas, on pensait pas.
Well, even though I'm a Catholic, having done all my communion, praying was the last thing on my mind. Far from it.
C'est tout ce qu'on pensait. On pensait pas à prier. Loin de ça.
The priest had come to us and do the sign of the cross, but we only responded to make him happy, because he was so kind, and so kind of him to let us be in his church. But what we had in mind was getting out of this situation and winning the battle.
Nous, on pensait plutôt, on était de s'en sortir, de gagner cette bataille où on était.
I'm watching a film shot outside the church during the strike. Dozens of men and women. They're reading the manifestos plastered to the church walls. It's been like this for a week. It's like a separate vigil. They're watching, they're waiting. For what? By week's end, the government still refuses to meet with the sex workers. The Minister for Interior tells Radio France that other churches are in their sight, including, probably, Notre Dame, and that this sort of public disorder is totally unacceptable.
Il n'y a plus aucune prostituée dans aucune église de France sur l'ordre même.
There is not a single prostitute left in any church in France. Under orders by the Minister of Interior himself, evacuation operations took place at 5 a.m. If we are to believe the account of one of these prostitutes, the police officers were not very gallant, should we say, with the ladies of the night.
Ce matin, à 5 h, les forces de police sont rentrées, comme on peut dire, en force.
This morning at 5 a.m, the police broke into the church. They didn't give us any explanations. They arrived with batons and hit the women, then forced us to leave. Some women left without their identity papers, their bags, their clothes. They can't go back to get them. The police are out the front and not letting anyone in.
Leurs vêtements, on ne peut pas les récupérer. Ils sont encore devant et interdisent tout accès.
The police van drove us to the Molière police station. A police officer said to me, "And you were not even crying? Why would I have cried? We had won the most beautiful of all battles. We had forced people to become aware of our existence, and we'd avoided jail. Even the police operation had served our cause. It allowed us to admire once more the courage of the police officers who arrived as a pack of 120 armed men with about 20 dogs and tear gas, and all that to throw out a bunch of sleeping women. Nobody can shut us down.
De toute manière, nous voulions arracher.
Anyway, we wanted to fight back.
Le droit d'être ce que nous sommes, femmes.
For the right to be who we are, women.
Et non pas bêtes de somme.
And not beasts of burden. At Saint-Nizier.
In the months following the strike, the sex workers hold public meetings and protest outside the president's country residence. In response, the government orders a fact-finding mission on the human problems of prostitutes. The report supports many of the sex workers' demands, but there are no solutions and it's quickly buried and forgotten. The Lyon police commissioner is moved on, the fines and threat of jail for street soliciting stop, but that's the only win.
Aujourd'hui, avec le recul, je pense quand même qu'il a valu la peine.
Looking back, yes, it was worth it. It was worth it, not necessarily for me. Today, I'm 60. But all of the girls who came after us, they had a much better life than we did. I realised that when we did the protest, the entire world was watching us. It makes me very proud to know that in some countries, the girls were far better off after what we did. But here in France, it's not the case. But we'll keep on fighting. Maybe that day will come.
Pas été ce qu'on voulait vraiment ni ce qu'on cherchait vraiment, mais je pense que ça a valu quelque chose, que ça a valu le coup quand même.
There is the saying, journalism is the first draft of history. Yet when it comes to sex workers and revolts, there are few second drafts. Not many people would have heard about the 1942 strike in Hawaii, or the 1984 Ecuadorian strike, where the protesters cut the nation's telephone lines. Still, activists do remember those 8 days in a church in Lyon. In my home state of New South Wales, sex workers invoked the French Rebellion when they successfully lobbied politicians to decriminalise prostitution, a world first. And activists across the globe commemorate the strike on June 2nd each year. The vast wall of archives from the French sex workers' strike, the letters, handwritten manifestos and lyrics to the protest songs are carefully preserved, but not in a library nor a museum. Instead, the archive of the protest credited with sparking the global sex workers' rights movement is in a retirement home for Catholic priests. Its custodian, 90-year-old Father Louis Blanc.
Voilà, bon, ben, ça fait donc... Une date anniversaire.
So it is indeed the anniversary date, the 2nd of June 1975.
Alors ici dans l'église, est-ce que vous vous souvenez?
So here we are in the church. Do you remember where you slept?
C'était une chapelle qui était réservée à Saint-Joseph.
It was a chapel that was reserved for Saint-Joseph. It's over there.
Est-ce que c'était pas un petit peu
Was it not a bit unusual for you to be sleeping in a church surrounded by 150 prostitutes?
Non, ça ne m'était jamais arrivé. Je passais quand même pas.
Of course, it had never happened to me before. I didn't used to spend my time occupying churches. That's why it played such a huge part in my life.
Il y a beaucoup de gens qui visitent cette église.
There might be people who visit this church, people who have heard about this event and who wonder why there's no record of it in here.
No record?
Je ne sais pas, je n'ai jamais été responsable moi de ces lieux. Je les ai occupés.
I have never been responsible for this space myself. I may have occupied it, but I have no say in whether or not there is a record of the event. And I'm going to pray for all of them, wherever they are.
Où qu'elles soient aujourd'hui. Hein? Voilà.
OK.
Allez, on y va.
Let's go.
Voilà, c'était là. C'est là qu'avec Christian Delorme, ici même.
It was here with Christian Delorme, right here.
C'est là qu'on a dormi 8 jours.
This was our reserved spot. It was here that we slept during those 8 days.
Ah oui? Oui?
You know, Father, this is no longer the St. Joseph Chapel. I don't know why, but it's now called the Chapel of St. Mary Magdalene.
Oh, bah alors ça, c'est formidable.
But that's fantastic. Now, do you realize that if Saint Joseph has given his spot to Saint Mary Magdalene, this is an incredible event. It's incredible.
Mais dans l'endroit même où elles ont occupé l'église, c'est significatif.
For this to be the spot where they occupied the church, it's very significant. Yeah, you're looking for a place to commemorate the event.
C'est Jésus.
Why not here?
Qui apparaît à Marie Madeleine.
It's after all Mary Magdalene to whom Jesus appeared.
My first steps on the sidewalks were in Lyon, June 1972. For 3 years, I lived a divided life. The life of a woman and the life of a prostitute. And one day in 1975, I realized by talking to the others, it could no longer go on. We wanted to be seen only as human beings. And that was Saint-Nizier.
The Sex Workers' Revolt was produced by Eurydice Aroney and the sound engineer was Judy Rapley. The program was first produced for RTBF Belgium and Radio France. In today's story, Sydney sex workers read the voices of the French strikers. And if you'd like more information about the revolt, you'll find it on the Earshot website.